from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Walk is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. And by Gutter Helmet, try the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 888-85-HELMET for a free estimate. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. Bob, the Pirates last night sort of finally broke out with their bats a little bit, and it was kind of a fun night at the ballpark, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think the two big things for me was, of course, Skeens looked great as usual. There was a little bit of talk, I think, earlier about, it's been 3 weeks or so since he's cracked 100 mile an hour. I don't know if he heard that talk or not, but his first pitch of the game was 100 mile an hour, and he threw several over 100. So nothing wrong with his arm here in late October. He looked fantastic, really kind of untouchable. I think if it would have been next year when he kind of will be off the leash a little bit, it would have looked like it would have, been a nice low hit shutout game for him. He's going to be that type of guy that can just go out and, two or three times a month, he'll just dominate somebody. It's been a shame that he doesn't have more wins than he has right now. We've had a tough time, I think, in taking advantage of some of the dominant starts he's had. Part of that is because some of those have been 5-6 inning starts where, they're watching the pitch count on him and don't let him go very far because this is his rookie year. But still, I really expect him next year to be a much bigger winner because he there's three out of four times he goes out there, the other team just struggles even to get just one or two runs max off of him. And that was cool to watch again last night. And, De La Cruz kind of having a little bust out there, a couple of doubles. I think he got three hits on the night. And, of course, the one double, the second one, with the bases loaded. And then the way Skeens was pitching, as soon as that ball, short hopped the right field wall and cleared the bases, at that point the game was pretty much over. That was a kind of a game-winning double right there.
Yeah, and he had, he had three hits. Obviously, it's been slow for him since he's gotten to with the Pirates. But I do think that, he has at least shown flashes where he could be their everyday right fielder next year, and they're going to be in pretty good shape, correct?
Well, I think he's shown, during the season that he could be a power run producer type guy, but not with us until yesterday. I think that was his first extra base hit as a Pirate that he when he got the double down the right field line. So I think he has a lot to prove, going into the last month of the season. I don't think he's the only one in that position, but there's going to be a sorry about the dogs. Well, you got snakes there, I guess, though, don't you?
Yeah, we've got a lot more than dogs. Trust me.
Back to De La Cruz. I think that I just believe that right field is going to be a little bit of a question mark, no matter what happens going into next year. I think that's going to be a situation that they got to, get figured out. And really, center field, too. That's another spot I'm going to have to go inside. All heck's going to break loose out here. I think there's deer in the woods.
Oh.
All right, so I'm inside now, away from the dogs.
There's
I think the outfield, two outfield positions are are going to be up for grabs, and there's a lot of decisions they're going to have to make come in October, October, November. What are they going to try to go out and acquire? What positions can they handle internally? I'm sure they're having these discussions now. What are they going to move people from positions? Is Cruz going to move from shortstop? A lot of stuff to be decided.
Well, there's no question, Bob, and I think, it's interesting you bring up Brian De La Cruz. I mean, obviously, for the Pirates' sake, the best-case scenario would be that he works out as your right fielder, right? Because then that's one less position you got to worry about.
Oh, yeah, that would be the best-case scenario. But, I'm not sure that that's the way it's going to go. But it could. I mean, he just, has not hit since he got here until today, yet last night. So if he can push and do something here and show, what he's got, I think then, perhaps, that he might be that guy. There's a lot of compromises that comes with him too, even though he's, had 18 home runs this year before he got here. He's still a big strikeout guy. What kind of a player do you want out there? He has a reputation for not being a great defensive player, although he's got some athleticism, skills. He's got a great arm. So maybe they could, work on that. But, again, I think there's just some question marks with him because of the fact that he's had such a poor August up till this point, that this is not what they were hoping for when they made that trade.
What about the other guy they traded for, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Have you liked what you've seen from him?
Yeah, I think he's a very good baseball player. I think he's a smart guy. He stays focused when he's out there on the field. He always seems to get himself in the right spot at the right time. He's flexible. He can go to different positions. Right now, with the offense, he's kind of having a career year right now offensively. So, I don't know what you really expect, from him next year. Is this season a career year, or is this a breakout year for him on offense? I think that's would have to wait and see. But if the offense that he's given you this season, if these numbers this year, and what we've seen from him since he's been a Pirate, if that's what he's going to do next year. Let's just for argument's sake, let's say they do need a shortstop for next year. He would probably be the first choice as far as guys that are on the team right now. So I think they are happy with the acquisition of Falefa, and I think that he's going to be a nice part of the team going forward.
Well, that's the thing. I think the other thing is he's pretty versatile, and so he can play a number of different positions for you. The one thing they've got to figure out for next year, obviously, Bob, is first base, and there's a bunch of options. If you take some of the catchers that they have that maybe they need to move or whatever, that to me seems to be that has to be the priority, is figuring out first base next year, right?
Yeah, I think that that a lot of people do talk about, they going into next season, you'll have a lot of catchers. But I look at catchers kind of like I look at pitching. Don't ever feel like you got enough, because that's going to bite you. Because that's a position that gets hurt so often. So I would be afraid to, trade any of those guys. Think, we maybe can get something back for them. I feel real confident in having three guys that, are possibilities for catcher. Now, right now, it looks like Bart has got the job because of what he has done so far this year. And, the other two guys, well, as far as this season, it's kind of a lost year for him. But Bart has really kind of grabbed the horns, and he's taken over that catching job. Maybe that it could be an answer for first base next year. But, I'd hate, making those plans and then something would happen to Bart, and then now, you know, you're looking for a catcher. Cause, I mean, it's almost impossible. We got real lucky getting Bart this year. It's almost impossible during the season to find any kind of, you know, catching help that you're going to be happy with on an everyday basis. So I'd be careful in thinking that we have surplus catching. We have a good amount of catching right now, but I'm not sure it's a surplus.
The thing about it is, like, you know, when you have good, you know, good options, it's always good, but it can also, like you said, it really kind of tries your ability to make the right moves. And then you could make the right move, and maybe it even doesn't even work out. So, but that's a long way down the road. I mean, this team this year, you know, this next month, I think one of the things that you probably already touched on was Brian De La Cruz. But what are some other things that you want to see happen for this team in the next month?
Well, I want to see Jones come back and see how he's pitching, because I think that's really why we got so excited this year. Is because the starting pitching, which is so tough to acquire, was so good. We really, you know, with you know, Falter kind of doing what he did, and I think it was, he pitched much better than probably expected. He's going tonight again. He has been a very pleasant surprise in that starting rotation. I was real happy to see that he didn't linger on the IL either. He came right back and jump right back out there. So, you know, the starting rotation with the two young guys, with Skeens and Jones, and then you got Keller and you got Falter. Ortiz at times has looked real good in that rotation. So that's my, you know, my happy point about this year, because the foundation of any team, any baseball team, the foundation is their starting rotation. If they don't have a starting rotation, even though it's nowadays it's, you know, just the first five or six innings, but it's still what you have to build off of, and it's very difficult to get quality starters and middle of the lineup hitters. You just can't find them out there unless you're going to just spend, you know, huge amounts of money on the free agent market. You have to grow your own, and the fact that, you know, we got two really good youngsters in Jones and Skeens to go with a couple other guys that we already have. That was, I think, the best thing that happened this season. And, you know, hopefully we can do something with the regular players now that, you know, will complement the starting pitching for next season. Because if you look at the season on a whole, that's been the problem. Our run production has just been hit or miss, you know, all year long. And we, you know, you can also look at a couple of stretches where the bullpen kind of let us down. But, you know, I think getting some offensive players in that lineup, lengthening that lineup card a little bit, where you're not always depending on the same two guys all the time. I think that's probably what we're going to be looking at for next season. And again, I said it about catching, you know, don't ever fall into the trap of thinking you have enough. And now I'm saying, well, I really like our starting pitching, but, you know, I'm not satisfied. I mean, we need to get more. You can't ever have enough of those guys. And now we do have, you know, some younger guys that can hopefully mix in next season, just like Jones and Skeens did this year. So I feel comfortable with our starting pitching, but I'm never really satisfied with that. We can't ever fall into that trap of saying, well, we have starters, we just need to look at other places. The starters, you got to really take care of them and hold on to them as long as you can.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think that's always the thing about the best part of a Skeens and Jones is the fact that they've got them under control for what, five more years, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, they're not going to be able to go anywhere. You know, hopefully you can you know, maybe do something like you did with McCutchen years ago. You know, buy out some of the, you know, the early years of, you know, the years that you overpay them and the years that you have them for sure. and maybe they'll sign for a couple after they could leave for free agency and turn that 5 years into maybe 7 years, something like that. That would be nice if we could find a way to do that. But you know, that's budget stuff. That's beyond my realm of knowledge.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, that's a different discussion for a different day. You've watched O'Neal Cruz now play for a long time, or at least, you know, pretty much what now we've seen him play 200 games or so. You know, do you think that there's enough there that you can build on that you feel like at some point he can become a legitimate defensive player, or at least somebody that's not a complete liability?
Well, I don't think he's a complete liability. I wouldn't put that on. I've been disappointed in his defense this year. I've been disappointed, and sometimes it looks like he's not really, focused out there. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. And I think, you know, anybody that's out there on a big league field, that should not be an issue. But especially your shortstop; those are your captain of the team type players. And I don't know. I want to see more from him out of the mental side of things. Make all the right decisions all the time. Make sure everybody else is in the right spot, making the right decisions. Just because he's a young guy, I think because he's a shortstop, he still needs to be a little bit more of a leader. And I think that would help him also. There's a time and place to, have a smile on your face and be, joking around and laughing and stuff. But I like it a lot better when I see him out there and he's got that war face on, if you know what I mean, where he looks serious and almost looks mean, like a guy you don't want to mess with. That's when I think he's at his best, when he's that player. I like to see more of that, and I think would help him out on defense also. Now, if he continues to play poor defense for the last, 6 weeks of the season or whatever's left, then he might lose his position. They might go ahead and move him. I'm sure that they've had discussions about what they would do with him. But the decision probably won't be made until after the season's over. So he needs to really tighten down that defense this last month for sure. And if he still wants to, be a shortstop.
Yeah, that's a big part of what the Pirates are going to be looking for in the future from O'Neal Cruz. I think if he's such a key to everything they do. The other interesting thing is, if you look around the diamond, you can start to see sort of a plan, but it assumes that, the Nick York perhaps can be a center fielder. It assumes that De La Cruz can hit better than he has. But it feels to me like they have at least the foundation or the groundwork together to maybe have a pretty good team next year. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think everything has to go our way as far as like injuries and things. We lost a couple of guys in October last year. We lost guys for this season. You just look at that and say, man, that's really bad luck. Well, that's got to stop happening to us. We don't have the depth of the Dodgers or the Yankees or a number of other teams to where we can just say, well, okay, this guy, we can fix that. When somebody we're counting on, whether it's a starting pitcher or a starting player that's, going to be your catcher or your first baseman or your center fielder, when you lose those guys for a season, even before the season even starts, that really hurts us a lot. You can see some possibilities. You can build a case for, we'll be a lot better next year. We'll have this guy. This guy will be in his second year. He should be, But there's those things that always seem to happen, and like we're snake bit. And hopefully we can stay away from that and be much more healthy than we've been in the recent past. you look at our IL. I looked at it the other day. I think I counted 12 guys on the IL. It's right. Just we need to be healthier than that. I think that's another thing that that we don't talk about, because I mean, why make excuses? But man, we've had some bad luck in the health situation these last couple of years, especially this year. But you know, you think about Cruz. We lost Cruz all last season. Last season was supposed to be, you know, making the decisions on him. Can he be a shortstop? Can he do this? Can he do that? And that got all put off to this year. And you know, that hurts us. You know, we gotta stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, there's no question. Bob, I appreciate you jumping on. It sounds like you got your dog. Did you put him out or did you go in?
I went in, but I don't hear him barking out there now, so I think he's fine. But you stay away from those snakes, by the way.
Yeah, right. Well, right now I have what appears to be a goat of some sort on my lap. What kind, Matt? What kind of goat is this here?
It's a pygmy goat.
Okay, I have a pygmy goat on my lap, Bob. So it's not a snake, but it's
that's better than a snake.
Yes, it's better than a snake. I'm afraid, right?
Do you got a little food for the goat? Or are you feeding him?
No.
We can.
Yeah, we could. Earlier, I fed a pig some tomatoes. How about that?
And here in a couple minutes. Nice. Here in a couple of minutes, we're actually getting the wallaby and kangaroo out, and we're going to let them bottle feed them. So
yeah, there we go. So, yes.
Man, you're having a great day. That's awesome. I love being around animals like that. That'd be fun.
Well, Bob, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Paul. Take care. I'll talk to you next Friday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline is presented by Super Sullivan. Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are wrapping it up. We have been out here at Living Treasures all morning and into the afternoon, of course. And what a beautiful place. What a beautiful piece of property you got out here, Matt. We're here with Matt Dumbault, who is the COO of Living Treasures Wild Animal Park. And, of course, as we talked about earlier, it's a beautiful place out here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a great area to be in. And, you know, we take pride in how neat and clean we keep our park and how well we keep our animals. We call them our family, and we truly mean it.
Yeah. You said you have, like, 300 animals here, right?
Yeah, about 300, yep. We're going to have one more co-host here in a couple minutes.
Okay, yeah. We've got another one coming out, but we've seen kangaroos, wallabies, pigs.
Pigs, snakes, goats.
Yeah, snakes, goats. We've seen it all. And, of course, when people bring their kids out, are there places in the park where they're, like, able to be interactive?
Yeah, on the weekends right now, we have our bottle yard where you can actually purchase a bottle from our concession stand, walk out into the yard with the baby goats and baby lambs and actually feed them a bottle and hang out with them, pet them and everything. So.
Oh, that's cool. There's photo opportunities. And you just said there's certain animals they're not allowed to be around or they're not allowed to have contact with, right?
Yeah, no primates, no carnivores, anything that could, like, we have a... You can hand feed our camels, but it's at a distance so you don't get too up in their mouth and everything like that.
Yeah, so you have camels here. I mean, you have – so primates would be what, like monkeys and things?
Yeah, like monkeys, our gibbons, which are a lesser ape, and the persimmons, like your lemurs.
So. Yeah, so you don't have anyone – it's not like people can pick them up? Or
no, not at all.
Yeah. So do you have a gorilla here?
No. We don't have any greater apes. Greater apes are really hard to contain. So it's just not something we want to take on at our facility. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have some monkeys that are...
Yeah, we have 8 species of primates.
Okay.
So, ranging from the little half-a-pound marmoset to our biggest ones, which is like a 30-pound, 40-pound gibbon.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, like I said, we've had a good time out here. It's interesting. I wasn't even thinking about this, but you've got feeding time for all 300 animals, right? You have to have, like...
And most of them eat twice a day.
Right, you have, like, a schedule. I mean, do you have people that have to do this, or...?
Yep, everything, you know, it's for the first feeding rounds in the morning. That includes first water. And then they go through and they clean everything, and then go back through again in the afternoon. And then it's feed time again, water again, and then whatever time they have left, they clean more, so...
So you have basically, I mean... this down to a science, right? I mean, like...
Oh, yeah, we, it's, well, our systems books is just packed jam full. Like, they actually, the USDA wants it, so if something would happen to your entire staff, you could bring strangers in, hand them the book, and they'd know how to take care of a zoo. So, like, that's how well-written, like, our diet plan is and our care plan is, so...
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that's, that struck me about, you know, being out here is just all the different ways that you have to take care of, like... I don't think it actually hit me until I got out here, but you actually have to take care of 300 animals every day.
Yeah, we have excellent staff. Most of our staff's been with us for a while now, and yeah, they're just awesome people. They care about the animals. You know, rule number one is take care of the animals. Rule number two is take care of your guests. So we go out of our way to take care of the animals and all of our visitors that want to come join us.
Yeah, you have a lot of like I said, you've had a lot of a steady stream of people coming. And like I said, I've been struck by how many. Like kids,
yeah,
young kids have come out here and all that kind of stuff. So, well, thank you for having us out here. This has been fun.
Yeah, anytime. And I know City Limits is missing out on all the fun, so that's why I offered it. Anytime you want me to bring an animal to studio, let me know. And
yes, we'll bring it. City Limits, what kind of animal would you like him to bring to the studio?
Oh, that's a good question. I would want to see. Do you have any sloths or koalas? They probably don't work for the climate.
So we do have sloths, and we are in the preliminary stages of hopefully getting our sloth encounter program back up and running.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it kind of went away during COVID, and it's one of the things that never just came back. But we were just had our management discussion on Monday about potentially getting a sloth from another zoo and starting the program back up. So,
well, a sloth. What interests you about sloths? City Limits.
Well, I feel like nobody is interested in sloths. So, I mean, why not? Somebody has to be interested in them. They seemingly just sleep all day. And I like pandas. Pandas are one of my favorite animals that you don't see very often because I feel like pandas just kind of roll around, have fun, and don't do much. They just eat bamboo a lot.
Well, you have to have permission from the country of China to
right.
have pandas. And I think there's only 4 in the U.S. right now.
Really?
Yeah. So
it would seem like there's more than that.
No, I want to say there's 4.
San Diego Zoo, I think, is one.
Yeah, no, not 4 zoos, 4 pandas total. I think San Diego has 2, and National Zoo has 2.
That's it?
Yeah, I could be mistaken, but I would ask for a paw pause, but we're already late in the show.
Yeah,
so.
what about koala bears? what about koala bears, City Limits?
I like koalas, too. I'm a big animal lover, I really am. Mostly for dogs, but... Big animal lover.
Well, then you should come out here then. We should maybe have a field trip. You and I and Joe come out here.
I'd love that.
You know, and Matt can show us around. Uh-oh. Now it gets serious here. You know, he's got in his hand right now looking at a little alligator. How about that? City Limits, an alligator.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be not terrified of the alligator, to be completely honest.
It's literally only 1 foot long.
It's 1 foot
baby long. Baby alligator.
Yeah.
Okay, that changes alligator. Things.
It's a little baby alligator. It's 1 foot long. But I'd imagine it could probably still hurt you if it bit you.
Yeah. It might maybe break a finger. I doubt it, though. But
yeah?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, now how big will that alligator grow to be?
I mean, they can grow up to 16 feet, so they can get pretty big.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking like 30 years from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say 16 feet. Yeah. Now, right now, you're looking at a little 1 foot little baby alligator. But Well, so this weekend we should reset what's going on for this weekend. We've got Steelers Lions tomorrow from Detroit, 1 p.m. And thing we'll be watching there is with the quarterback situation. We've got high school football kicking off tonight already. Can you believe that?
I know. It's awesome.
This summer has like flown. Like, it seems like it was just yesterday was Memorial Day, and now all of a sudden high school football starts tonight. I mean, technically college football starts tomorrow with a couple of the games. I mean, really, the full slate doesn't start until next week. But at the end of the day, tomorrow there's four games, I think, or five games of college football, and then I mean, we've got football season. Of course, we've got Pirates-Reds. We've got Pirates-Reds, and that is tomorrow and tonight, tomorrow and Sunday. So we've got a lot going on. But, Matt, thank you so much for having us out here, and it was a lot of fun as always, you know. And next time, hopefully, I can spend some time and go around the zoo and actually see some of these other bigger animals.
Yeah.
I
appreciate you guys coming out. I hope you had an incrinculant time. I had to get it in there.
Yes, so. Incrinculant. In honor of Joe, incrinculant, right? Right. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And, of course, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. It's a high of 81 today with sunny skies. City Limits, in good luck this weekend with all of your high school football stuff, and I will be off Monday, but we'll be back on Tuesday.
Thanks. Yeah, we got a big slate on KDKA of games, 2 tonight, 5 p.m., 8 p.m., and then tomorrow's noon. 3:30 and 7 for the KDK Radio High School Football Kickoff Classic. It's all obviously on KDKA. It's at the Wolf Arena, historic.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. We'll see you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.